Algo FM. It's called The Tide Is High. You with Wayne, Lee and Charlie T. 7:41. It's pre-cam. Good morning.
Hello, friends. Hello, friends.
Hello, dear friends. All right, we got some stuff to give away later on, including tickets to go see the Springboks next week. And somebody will win, courtesy of Celsi, up to 10,000 rand in cash. However, we need to talk about this. This week marks Corporate Mental Health Awareness Week in South Africa, a time when the spotlight is on well-being of employees and the environment that we work in. Now, recent research has raised a red flag, and a big red flag, about toxic leadership styles, specifically the impact that narcissistic and psychopathic leaders are having on organizations and on mental health of their staff. We're joined on the line this morning by Prof. Skuman, joins us from Stellenbosch on the line. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, listeners.
It's great to have you on Algo FM as we touch on this subject, which a lot may find very, very sensitive. Prof. Skuman, there's been a lot of talk about toxic bosses and difficult managers, but you're drawing a distinction between challenging personalities and a true narcissist or psychopaths in leadership. Now, for listeners, what are the clear signs that someone in power is crossing from tough management into genuinely toxic or dangerous territory?
Yeah, I think it's very important. We shouldn't use the labels too loosely. People very easily refer to, oh, he's such a narcissist, which is not the right way, because that can lead to unfair and unnecessary labeling. But recognizing the real trait accurately is crucial to avoid conflicts as well later on. So what are the signs? When we talk about narcissism, it's very specifically grandiosity, an abnormal sense of entitlement, constant need for admiration, a complete lack of empathy, arrogance and hypersensitivity to criticism. And also when you cross them, there can be what we call narcissistic rage. They often will isolate people by withholding information that can impact individual performance. Well, they can isolate the staff. Where with psychopathy, people can be very charming, but it's superficial charm. They can be very manipulative. There can be lack of remorse or empathy, a lot of impulsivity and shallow effect, almost cruel. And they rely more directly on manipulation and bullying.
Prof, you know, it just seems like every second person you chat to nowadays has a toxic leader or a narcissistic leader. And I have to wonder, is it a case of power attracting narcissists, you know, people who actively seek out positions of control? Or does power itself start to distort personality over time? In other words, do some leaders become more toxic the higher they climb? Because we often hear stories of individuals who start off relatively grounded at junior or mid-levels, but then something shifts once they're in charge. You know, is it personality or power or a bit of both?
I think there's even more things to play. I would quickly think about three. So yes, we power is very concentrated and in one individual, and there's not checks and balances in place, and there's a lack of accountability and transparency and clear policies and things. Yes, that can then reinforce some behavior traits, but you're not going to become a narcissist at the age of 40. We're talking about personality traits that they since young. And usually we can make a diagnosis of a personality disorder by 18, a clinically trained person. So it's not something that just develops later. Then it will really just be traits as well. The second thing that plays a role, there is a definitely higher prevalence of people with narcissism in high leadership positions, especially on CEO level. Studies have shown that this is prevalent in amongst 1% of the general population. Among CEOs, it's about 4%. And it has also to do with leadership traits that is actually positive and that we value in leaders. For example, charisma, narcissists can be very good strategists. They can be audacious in pushing through change and transition, and they have compelling visions and skills to really inspire and attract other people. So initially, this can really be people that we say, wow, you know, such a great leader. But if the checks and balances is not in place, then it's where the problems can develop. The third thing that we also need to know, that a lot of people, many of us, struggle with codependency. So we tend to be attracted to people also that feed this dynamic of stronger, weaker, where it can be good, it can be inspirational, but we also need to make sure that we are grounded. And also part of it is maybe a little bit of a modern day thing due to social media where everything is being labeled. It's almost like we want to classify and categorize every single one. I think partly it's because of the increased awareness of neurodiversity, increased awareness of mental health, but with a danger that we now suddenly label everything. You know, like you have one bad day and you say, oh, I'm so depressed. That is not depression.
Yeah.
Or one day that you struggle to concentrate because you didn't sleep well. Oh, I'm so ADHD.
Yeah, yeah.
And the same, one day that your leader cross you or he's maybe a bit more firmer with
oh,
you.
Oh, he's such
and
a narcissist.
Actually very charismatic. He's such a narcissist. Yeah. Exactly. And I'm worried about that. You know, that we also lose it way too easy and that we almost turned into what we call snowflakes. You know, we're so precious.
Snowflakes. So precious. I love that.
Professor, just touching on the impact of employees. Research has shown that up to a third of employees in South Africa quit their jobs because of toxic leadership, and that work stress now accounts for over 40% of workplace illnesses. What are some of the most common mental health effects you see among employees working under these kinds of leaders?
I think the very first thing that we see is initially just disengagement, lack of trust in yourself, questioning yourself a lot, so anxiety becomes rife, which leads to sleeping problems, which leads to burnout and depression. So that is basically what we see, that stress-related conditions. But often it's also communicated in physical symptoms, you know, so abdominal pain or spastic colon or chronic headaches, or even your immunity can decrease if you're in this constant stressful environment. So it's a wide range, but I would say stress-related conditions, anxiety, depression, and the physical consequences is what we see most commonly. But over time, what the impact is more from an organizational perspective is that loss of innovation, because you're scared your ideas are shut down.
Yeah.
And sometimes it is a bad idea. I mean, let's face it, sometimes your idea is not that great.
What side are you on here, Prof. Swimman?
You have to be reasonable. So.
And balanced.
So, yes. But you can have depressed innovation, low morale among staff, high attrition rate, and there can even be reputational damage and eventually financial loss. The bottom line can get damaged.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're talking about Corporate Mental Health Week, which is sort of celebrated in South Africa or highlighted in South Africa this week. And we are talking to Prof. Schoeman from the Stellenbosch Business School. Now, when it talks to safeguarding ourselves, the employees, Prof, for employees who suspect they're working under a toxic leader, what practical steps can they take to protect themselves both mentally and professionally? And is it possible to thrive in an environment like that?
Is it
the best solution to move on?
You can survive. No, you don't always have to move on. There's a few things. If you think about the strategies that these bosses use, the two main things is communication, manipulation, and isolation. So the first thing is to establish clear boundaries where you have professional distance and you document all interactions. If you can avoid having individual meetings and always have someone else in the room, that's good that you have a witness. If that is not possible, follow up in writing. So follow up on our meeting of X, Y, and Z. This is the 5 points that we agreed on. And you send the email that it is in writing and confirmed or denied, so that it is documented. The second thing is really to seek support. So it can be organizational support by engaging HR or utilizing employee assistance programs. But even just speaking to your team or a trusted colleague at work can help a lot just for you to have a reality check. You know, and my perceptions based on reality, or if I'm being super sensitive now. And also then to seek professional support and advice if need be. Then finally, we can weather stress much better if we take care of ourselves. You know, so in self-care, we mentioned the social support, but also the other basic things. You know, switching off your technology at certain times of the day to create the distance between work and your private space. Because we see a lot of online bullying also these days.
Mm.
And then also the exercise, your sleeping patterns, etc. Finally, stay objective and look at what is the facts and what is the feeling. So evaluate your performance clearly and be also willing to acknowledge, maybe I could have improved there. But don't focus on the emotions. You know, try to just stay objective. And that's where the help of someone else is really, really useful as well.
I just want to come in. You mentioned, you know, going to HR and highlighting and perhaps escalating these issues with HR. A lot of employees may feel fear in doing that. When is the time to escalate that to HR, and should we document those cases?
Yeah, everything. A paper trail is so important. A paper trail in inverted commas, because there's virtually no paper these days. But it is important. And I think if, you know, sometimes there's a lot of value in, like, what is written in the Bible. You know, first speak to the person directly, then take a witness within a group, and then, you know, then it's drama. So I would say the same. Try to put your boundaries there and say, I, this is not the way to speak to me. This is not acceptable that you shout at me. You know, for example, and the second time is you take a witness along, and then the third time, I think, is done when you escalate it to HR.
Prof. Renata Schoeman, thank you so much for your time and for such a thought-provoking conversation. Your insights, you know, around toxic leadership and mental health and the real cost of unhealthy work cultures have given us a lot to think about, especially during this week that is specifically dedicated to corporate mental health. And yeah, we appreciate your work, your voice, and your commitment to just reshaping the narrative. Thank you once again for joining us, Prof. Renata Schoeman from Stellenbosch Business School.
My pleasure. Have a good day. We gotta mend this damage. We gotta cross this ocean. We gotta lift this load. Speed up slow motion. We gotta hold these weapons. Wake up intentions. We gotta find some hope.